its current state for Thursday. Before we launch into Right to Work and the first anniversary of Right to Work, we want to welcome the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta to our microphones. Rick, you covered the debate and vote changing Michigan's abortion insurance provisions yesterday. Sounds like a memorable session. Tell us about it.
It's we have to wonder what the Michigan legislature is going to hand us on December 11th of next year.
You know what, Rick? I've got to interrupt you. We've got a microphone problem with that microphone.
Okay.
If you could, let's do a little sudden choreography.
Sure, it's my fault. It usually is.
This was a dramatic session yesterday.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that now we have to wonder what the legislature will bring us on December 11th of 2014, because now we've built this expectation of high drama at the end of session.
I guess so.
Last year, Right to Work. This year, it was the petition initiative to basically say that basic health plans can no longer include can no longer include abortion coverage. That if a health coverage consumer wants that, then they'd have to buy a separate policy, what's called a rider. That's despite the fact that actually very few basic health care policies do right now. And this is pretty much dealing with private sector insurance policies, because Michigan already, because of another initiated law back in the late 80s, outlawed public funding for abortions. So because this was brought in by a petition drive, it is not subject to a veto by the governor. Governor Snyder did veto a similar measure last year because it did not allow for exceptions for coverage for pregnancies caused by rape or incest. This bypasses the governor's desk, and it will become a law beginning in late March of next year. And of course, then as insurance policies expire and get renewed, then that new provision would play into it. As it turned out, a very dramatic evening. Lawmakers, in some cases, telling stories of rape. State Senator Gretchen Whitmer talked about having that happen to her in college, and
yes,
not knowing what she would have done had she become pregnant as a result. But also miscarriages that were covered by insurance at the time, which it appears would not be covered in.
These were members of the legislature.
These were
who
members
shared
of
these
the
accounts.
Legislature. Emotional, tearful moments. So it was, it was very dramatic, and it capped a week where we weren't sure if we were even going to see a vote, because for reasons that no one, entirely grasps, the legislative leadership was pushing back against getting that done this week. And at Michigan's capital in Lansing, pushing back against Right to Life of Michigan like that just really isn't done. It's a pretty rare occurrence, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on here to Right to Work. It has now been a year since that controversial measure was signed into law by Governor Snyder. It formally took effect last March, and it made it illegal to require that employees join a union as a condition of employment. It triggered a stormy, sometimes violent debate. Supporters called it an issue of worker freedom and a job creator. Opponents complained it was a flagrant attempt to undercut the power of unions and the working people who belong to them. Many observers have said it will take more time to see noticeable impacts from the law. Be that as it may, we thought we'd take a look back over the previous 12 months and glean what we can to help us weigh the economic impact. Current state welcomes back MSU Professor of Economics Charlie Ballard. Charlie, good to see you.
Thank you.
And Rick Pluta, you're going to help us with the political impact of Right to Work and how that has played out, and you're both more than welcome to muscle in on each other's territory.
We intend to. We're going to muscle.
You have, down.
You have a long history of doing that, if I'm not mistaken. Professor Ballard, Right to Work supporters made several key claims regarding the measure. One was that it would attract businesses to Michigan and create jobs. What, if anything, have we seen?
Well, so far, I think we've seen essentially nothing. Partly that may be because the law only went into effect 9 months ago, and business location decisions do take time. But certainly there was not a quick effect. I think often during the debate a year ago, the impression was given that companies were just champing at the bit to move to Michigan as soon as we became right to work. Certainly that has not happened. We know that partly because those who were in favor of the law, if they could point to a particular company that's moved jobs to Michigan because of right to work, I'm sure they would. And just yesterday, the Chamber of Commerce said, and I quote, "It will take time to produce measurable results." Mm-hmm. In other words, nothing so far. Or if there's anything so far, it's so small that it's barely detectable. Now, we have had job growth in 2013, just as we have had in the last 4 years. We bottomed out in the winter of 2010, and we've had decent, although not spectacular, job growth in every year since then. But I attribute that not to right to work, but rather to just a variety of factors, the general rebound of the U.S. economy.
The larger economy.
The larger economy that's going on.
Which has always been sort of the critical factor in measuring Michigan's economic performance is how the national economy is doing.
Yeah, we have for better or worse, we are 3% of the U.S. economy, and we have open borders with the rest of the country and the rest of the world. And so when the rest of the country does well, that's generally good for us. Mm-hmm. When the rest of the country does poorly, especially as it did in 2008 and 2009.
And we should also point out that critics of right to work are pointing out that the state's unemployment rate is marginal. I mean, as a practical matter, it's the same as it was at this time last year.
Up slightly, though.
A fraction of a percentage point. And that is actually due to Professor Ballard is right. Hiring is up, but so is the number of people who are looking for work. So basically, which is one of the things that you see in the early stages of a recovery, is that people regain some hope. They return to the job-seeking workforce, and they become measured. And so that actually drives up the unemployment number. But, you know, one of the interesting things about, as long as we're talking about measuring, is, you know, at this time last year, there was a lot of discussion about Indiana's performance as a right-to-work state and the number of jobs that were created that were attributed to it. And the Snyder administration and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation apparently made a decision to not measure the performance, that they'll, you know, talk about sort of the overall stuff. But when, you know, when we've asked over and over and over again, can you tell us about a company that suddenly put Michigan on their list because we're a right-to-work state, the answer is, well, they don't really talk about that because they don't, you know, want that out there. Is there any job number that you can point to on that? Well, we're not measuring this. From an administration that has made a point of being passionate about measuring, which begs the question, so why do you measure everything else but not this?
Well, perhaps because it takes time.
It does take time. This is going to be, you know, if it succeeds famously, it's still going to be a subtle, slow build and not just an instant sea change.
Opponents, let's talk about them, feared it would erode important leverage for organized labor and reduce membership. What, if anything, have we seen there?
Well, very little. And I think one of the things that's important to point out, and for the union supporters, this is bad news. For the union opponents, this is good news. Unions already had lost so much ground. It's not as if we had really, really strong unions and then all of a sudden out of nowhere comes right to work. Rather, 1964 is the earliest year for which I have the data on the state-by-state fraction of the workforce that is members of a union. Back then, almost half of Michigan workers were members of a union. Well, in 2012, it's 16.6%, mm-hmm. one out of every six. And that's weighted by greater success in the public sector. In the private sector, it's one out of every nine Michigan workers. So the battle had already, in a sense, been lost by the unions, or at least a lot of the battle. And then
it's certainly the private sector unions.
With the exception
of the auto companies, which actually just – that was sort of a cultural issue, that they had learned how – to work with their unions. And so the United Auto Workers remains strong within in the auto industry, but certainly the rest of the public sector unions are almost non-existent.
Private sector.
I'm sorry, private sector.
Yes.
Unions are almost non-existent.
That's right. And so they haven't apparently suffered many membership losses. There may be more in the future as contracts expire, but so far not much change to membership. But that's against the background of having lost so much membership decade after decade after decade, since the peak of unions in the United States was about 1953. So there's been a very long-term period of decline.
Actually, I think we've seen a slight uptick in union membership in the past year. Very, very small. But
nationally?
Partly because of job growth.
Job growth, and it's almost like you couldn't go, you know, that sort of hit the floor.
That's right.
24 states now have a right to work law. I'm wondering if we can glean anything from history here, though. If you look at the history of right to work, 22 of those 24 adopted the law between 1943 and 1976. 22 of the 24, 76 or earlier, quite a few in 1 year, 1947, with a history that stretches back that far in that many states, can we extrapolate and see anything that is likely to unfold in Michigan?
I don't think we're likely to, and at least not big. And the reason for that is that whether the workers are unionized is only one of a whole bunch of things that goes into job creation and what the wages are. If you're an employer, what are you looking for? Number one, you're looking for workers with the skills to do what you need to do. If you can't find those skilled workers, you don't have a viable business, and it doesn't matter whether they're unionized. Also, access to customer base, access to resources, infrastructure like transportation infrastructure. With crumbling roads and bridges, that's a problem for businesses. So unions is only one of the parts of the picture. The biggest, I think, is the skill level of the workforce. And when you look at the states that are right to work, which are the ones that immediately went for right to work in 1947? All of the southern states, traditionally the least unionized. Well, that's the poorest region of the country. So I did the comparison for 2011 of per capita personal income in the right to work states and the non-right to work. Well, in the right to work states, it's more than $6,000 per person per year less than in the non-right to work. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll suddenly lose $6,000 per person.
Aren't unemployment rates, though, lower in the right to work states as well?
They are. They are. And then that raises the question, if your focus is solely on jobs, you're saying, okay, we don't care what the wage is. We're only caring about whether there is employment. If we drop wages far enough, maybe we can compete for Honduras for some of those.
Well, and those unemployment rates are more stable. That if you look over that period, you know, that decades long experience that you were just talking about, there were certainly periods in that where Michigan's unemployment rate was lower than those southern states, and wages were still higher.
We have had historically, because of our heavy,
although the 90s were an anomaly,
heavy dependence on durable goods manufacturing. That is one of the most cyclical parts of the economy. Big ups and big downs.
Let's talk about the political and legislative vibe in Michigan since Right to Work took place a year ago.
We can, and just quickly, though, we should also point out that one of the things we're going to see as far as impact, and Charlie touched on this, is we've got state employee union contracts coming up, and we'll see what may be the biggest measure of the impact of Right to Work when we see what state employees do under Right to Work and the new contract.
Great point. Rick Pluto, looking back, how have these last 12 months gone at the state capitol? What's been the repercussions of Right to Work in the capitol?
There was really this question coming out of 2012 of whether things had just become so embittered that there was no possible way for Democrats and Republicans to cooperate on things where Republican leaders and Governor Snyder would be looking for Democrats. The biggest one that jumps immediately to mind is transportation funding, which would require voting on some type of fuel tax increase. And it just seems like every time everything, you know, things have settled down and people have started to breathe a little easier and you know, maybe find some room for cooperation.
Begin to forget about the past?
Yeah. I mean, not forget, you know, something else happens. I mean, it's just become kind of like a bad marriage where, you know, every time there's a, you know, that there's a bump in the relationship, it just automatically just switches back to, you know, all that tension and hard feelings that really, you know, came to a head at this time last year with Right to Work.
But it is a bad marriage that did manage, after mm-hmm. a lot of acrimony, to pass the Medicaid expansion. So it is possible sometimes for there to be
But if you look at the way that was drawn out and that Michigan, you know, does not have a state-based healthcare exchange, it's been working with the federal exchange, and states that ran their own exchanges actually have not shared in the experience of having all of that trouble signing up. The Medicaid expansion was dragged on, you know, for so long that, you know, we're now late getting into the game that, you know, we lost out on all kinds of federal funds. We've got a $70 million hole in the budget right now that the legislature has not fixed because we didn't sign up with the Medicaid expansion in a timely fashion. So yeah, they got that done, but that was a pretty bumpy road and not exactly a template for how you want to accomplish things in Lansing.
How much hay will Democrats get out of the issue as we're about to enter into an election year? How much hay will Democrats get out of this as an issue, and what does the GOP have to defend regarding Right to Work as we head into 2014?
Well, I, you know, I'm the director of the State of the State survey we were talking about recently.
Yes.
We asked a question about a year ago after the law was passed whether people think that the Right to Work law will help or hurt the economy. And it was statistically a tie. 42.7% said that it would help, 41% said it would hurt, and 16.3% said it won't make any difference. That's an evenly split electorate in terms of their views about Right to Work. So I think a lot of the folks who were predisposed in favor of voting Republican, they're okay with the Right to Work. A lot of the ones who were predisposed to vote for the Democrats, they didn't like it, and that's not going to change their mind, I think.
In early December of last year, there was a lot of concern among Republicans that if they managed to pull this off, that – all of a sudden, there were going that in the following election, there were going to be a bunch of unemployed politicians, and it does not seem to be shaping up that way. That you know, the internal polling that Republicans and Democrats are doing are finding that Right to Work is almost irrelevant as a campaign issue, which is why, you know, quite frankly, if you're paying attention to you know, the chatter among the political class, you're not hearing a whole lot about it. You're hearing a lot more about extending the income tax to pensions. That's something that Democrats are banging the drum loudly on because it seems to be resonating, and one that Republicans are working up their defenses on, followed by school funding. That those seem to be the wedge issues that are shaping up for the coming election. And Right to Work is a blip on the screen.
I've got to ask both of you what you make of the Miriam Chansky situation. A few months ago, the Mackinac Center Foundation took up this young woman's cause. She's a West Michigan kindergarten teacher who claims the Michigan Education Association violated the new law by overlooking or blocking her wish to drop out of the union. They're representing six other MEA or former MEA members.
You say that they didn't drop out during the window.
The August window.
Yeah.
Yes. Did this complaint create much of a stir at the Capitol, and are legislators following this?
Well, there's a state Senate committee that was formed in the wake of that to look at exactly those kinds of questions. And, I mean, it wouldn't be
in the – They just started work this week,
yeah.
If I'm not
well,
mistaken.
No. A couple weeks ago.
It? Okay.
But and their job is essentially to look at ways that unions, in the eyes of Republicans, are trying to skirt – the Right to Work law. You know, what the unions are saying is, look, you set up these rules. We're just playing by them. But there was, for example, a Teamsters local over in Southeast Mission came up with the idea of, well, if you opt out of paying union dues, then what we're going to do is we're going to create a system where if you file a grievance that you have to pay what's essentially a filing fee, a representation fee for us to process that. And, you know, if you're a dues-paying member, chances are pretty good we'll waive the fee. And if you're not a dues-paying member, the chances are pretty good we're not. Well, they dropped – you know, we dropped that idea. So we're seeing all kinds of experimentation, you know, all the way around to, you know, sort of test the limits of Michigan's right-to-work law. And so, I mean, there, we've got a couple of cases in court, including one that's challenging literally the way that, that it was passed. So there's still some things to thresh out on it, but it's a low murmur, not a loud roar.
It feels to me now, Rick, you follow this more closely down at the Capitol than I do, but these lawsuits feel like a pretty small tempest in a very little teapot. Mm. That's the way. I don't think this is going to shake the landscape.
I think you put it perfectly.
Okay.
I tried to throw down for you, but it doesn't seem to be working.
Well, we'll have to do a little wrestling later.
I'll go Bobby Flay next time.
Yeah, okay.
We want to thank our two guests, MSU Professor of Economics Charlie Ballard and Rick Pluta of the Michigan Public Radio Network on Right to Work 1 year later. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Pleasure.